In his book, A Primate's Memoir, Robert Sapolsky makes a number of observations that only a man who's lived among baboons could make. They are like kings, he wrote. But he goes on, basically, baboons have about a dozen solid hours of sunlight a day to devote to being rotten to each other. After more than 20 years of studying the baboons of the Serengeti, Mr. Sapolsky found their company in the bush to be not so far afield from the society of people. Primates are, after all, one big family with similar physical and psychological concerns. Mr. Sapolsky has spent much of his life studying the relationship between stress and disease among baboons. He is now a professor at Stanford University. Robert Sapolsky joins us on the line from Palo Alto, California. Hello.
Hi.
You have in this book a huge cast of wonderful characters, and most of them are baboons, all or almost all of them with biblical names. Tell us a little bit about the ones that you found most interesting.
One of my favorites was a male named Saul, who in some ways was brilliant at doing what your average male baboon wants to do, which is to be high-ranking, dominating, highly aggressive. This was someone who did it with a sort of brilliant minimalist sort of style, a male who was utterly imperturbable, avoided most provocations, just sat there with a sort of Mandarin calm until you crossed him past a certain threshold, at which point he was just a wildly retributive, aggressive animal. And at the other end of the extreme was a male named Isaac who clearly at one point stepped out of the whole world of male-male competition. He was fairly high-ranking at the time, and not as a function of defeat or injury, just got sick of it one day, walked away from a whole bunch of fights, and spent the rest of a very long, healthy life basically grooming females and playing with kids.
So among baboons, you can be a lover, not a fighter, and succeed. Even there.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Barry White all the way.
How did the baboons view you?
I think that if they think of me as anything, that I'm just a stupefyingly low-ranking baboon in the hierarchy. I mean, sort of, just as an example of it, there's a male baboon gesture that you give. Suppose you're just about to be trounced by a higher-ranking male. You're completely up the creek. You make this solicitive gesture to other males around, trying to get somebody to form a coalition with you to cover your back and help you out. I definitely count as their primate of last resort.
Your most profound finding, in fact, the one that's most interesting to me, and I'm sure will be most interesting to most junior high school boys, is that friendly male baboons have a special way of greeting each other. And I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Well, let's see. Much like you will see when male dogs are trying to show they're getting along just fine, what do male dogs do? They roll on their backs and expose their genitals. And in much the same way, male baboons and a few other primate species, when they're getting along really well, they do the, as technically termed, the penis grab on each other. Look at that. We're getting along in such a great way. Do your best. We're just pals. No harm intended.
And they take no offense.
No, they take no offense. It's a pretty good measure of trust.
The goal of your research was to study the effects of stress on the immune system. And in order to do that, you had to anesthetize the baboons. Tell us what the point of this, the darting was, and what did you do with the baboons once you darted them? What were you looking for?
Basically giving them a checkup. So when they're down, what I'm looking at is their blood pressure, their cholesterol levels, who's got an ulcer, how's their immune system working, what their antibody levels are against this or that, what their stress hormone levels are like. And essentially, you know, 23 years later, what I've discovered is if you've got a choice in the matter, you'd probably rather be a high-ranking baboon than a low-ranking one. Low-ranking guys have all the physical and psychological stress, but even more importantly than your rank, if you got a choice in the matter, you want to be a male baboon who's got friends and can tell the difference between the big things and the little things, because those are the guys who are healthiest.
You managed to get yourself in some very sticky situations. I'm thinking of one in particular, Uriah and the Impala.
Well, when a darting goes perfectly, you dart somebody on the edge of the troop. He doesn't see it. Nobody else sees it. He passes out. You spirit him away without anybody seeing. It's all nice and peripheral and quiet. He's released later in the day. everyone's fine with it. On this particular occasion, darted somebody where it looked as if this was going to be a perfect darting, and 10 seconds later, high-ranking male on the other side of the field takes down an Impala, and my guy takes off, rips the Impala off from this guy, this Impala who's still quite alive, and is suddenly in the middle of six other males chasing him, tear-assing after him, and he's got about 90 seconds before he's going to start getting soggy from the anesthetic, at which point he's going to be on top of this highly desirable Impala. They're going to have no idea why he's suddenly slowing down, but great time to shred him. All very stressful. He wound up eventually ducking into this sort of cave made out of bushes with this Impala bellowing in there. And I had to get in between this cave and the six males and figure out when to go in there. He's not so awake that he's going to shred me. When to go in there that it's not been such a long time that the other males are going to get too impatient. Eventually go in, discover he's passed out on top of this Impala, pick him up, utterly forget about this creature, and suddenly this Bambi thing is kicking me in the face. And before it's all over with, the Impala winds up with the other males. He and I are cowering in there for the next half hour. Not one of your routine dartings, fortunately, few and far between like that, but it worked out okay in the end.
Well, let's talk about Isaac for a minute. This is a baboon who took a different tack. He managed to figure out that he could, without being aggressive, figure out ways to mate often and with desirable females, which is basically the point, I guess, of being a baboon. Are Isaac's progeny going to be those who finally win out in the evolutionary struggle of baboons?
Fabulous question. As your basic sort of egghead diminutive male, I'm certainly voting for that in the long run. insofar as you define a baboon who gets involved in every provocation, sees stressors everywhere. This fits into human disorders like type A personality, things of that sort. And what we know from mounds and mounds of research in health psychology, behavioral medicine, is there's a downside to being type A. You have an increased risk of cardiovascular disease. You have an increased risk of certain types of diabetes, all sorts of problems. These folks are selected against, and assuming they and baboons get to survive long enough, my guess is in a couple of zillion years, there will have been selection for exactly that personality style, both mm-hmm. among them and us.
Well, thank you very much. This has really been a pleasure.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Robert Sapolsky's book is called A Primate's Memoir.